What is going on with Terry McLaurin in our nation's capital? What can you expect from the Packers' backfield this weekend against Chicago? And how concerned should you be about Darnell Mooney taking the field for the Falcons this weekend as well? Plus, we have the 27th place team owner in the Fantasy Pros Championship, Mr. Eric Von Gutenberg, hopping aboard to talk tonight about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Rico Dowdle, and the late-breaking news coming across the wire that fantasy football players need to be aware of in the FFPC for Week 11. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men that need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
My apologies, ladies and gentlemen, for the silence here. I just realized I was muted. Sorry. Permar99, thank you for pointing that out. Welcome into the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, presented by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I am Eric Balkman. You know me from the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, of course, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network and the Fantasy Football Players Championship. My co-host with the most, Farrell Elliott, is en route right now. He is roughly about 10 minutes away or so. So just hang. Bear with me. Farrell's coming, and we're going to have Eric Von Gutenberg, the 27th place team owner in the Fantasy Pros Championship, hopping aboard in about 10, 15 minutes as well. Show tonight is going to include a lot of stuff on, we'll get into Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We'll get into Juwan Jennings. We'll get into the week six bi-pocalypse that is coming up in week 12 and how you should be treating it as well. That's all coming up on the show tonight. Want to remind you, if you are looking to build some FFPC teams, it is not too late. I know it's November and you say, Balky, we drafted these teams in September. We're done. No, you can still build teams with the FFPC Weekly Challenge. MyFFPC.com, MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. You can play for as little as $35. You can win up to $2,500. You can play with or without kickers and defenses, a 10-team lineup, excuse me, a 10-player lineup or a 12-player lineup, up to you. And you can play against 9 other, 29 other, or 99 other teams. MyFFPC.com is where to go. There is no draft. There is no salary cap. You're just building these teams according to the whims that you want. The only stipulation is you can't double up on players, right? So if you want Daniel Jones, I don't know why you would. You can't have Malik Nabers. If you want Patrick Mahomes, you can't have Travis Kelce. If you want Kyler Murray, you can't have Marvin Harrison. That's a bad example because they're both on bye this week. If you want Caleb Williams, you can't have DJ Moore. Stuff like that. You can't double up. Other than that, go hog wild. However you want to form these teams, myffpc.com, myffpc.com is where to go tonight. Shout out to everybody who's tuning in live streaming. Appreciate you, Michael, Permar, Scott. Awesome to see you guys tonight. I want to lead things off tonight with, I guess, you know, a lot of times when I build this show, I miss out on some stuff because I want to get the rundown to Farrell ASAP, but then stuff happens with the injury reports and things change as far as how you need to be handling things, not only with your team, in submitting lineups for Sunday, but the way that you're going to bid in the FFPC for that Sunday morning, waiver wire. So let's get into some stuff tonight I think is very important to understand going for week 11. Sean McDermott, according to Ian Rappaport, the head coach for the Bills, says he's optimistic that Amari Cooper is going to play this weekend. He's listed as questionable, Rappaport saying that he doesn't know his true status right now. So maybe it is a true game time decision. But Cooper, and take this with a grain of salt, I never like taking injury advice from the player themselves. But Cooper, or themselves, Cooper believes that he is going to play. He is, he envisions himself playing against the Chiefs. That's a quote from Amari Cooper. Now, the thing to be wary of is this is a 425 start on Sunday. So I would encourage all of you, and myself included, because I have Cooper in a couple leagues, have a pivot ready. Have somebody ready to go just in case Cooper doesn't play in that game. Now, it could be somebody in the 425 game. It could be, you know, in the Bengals Chargers Sunday night game. It could be in the Texans Cowboys Monday night game. So have somebody ready to go there as well. Okay, moving forward. Christian McCaffrey, no longer on the injury report. Fire him up. I love him this week. No questions. Gus Edwards also removed the injury report. He's going to play against the Bengals. He had an ankle injury last week. 10 carries, 55 yards against the Titans. And that's not the easiest matchup in the world as far as running the ball goes. So I do like the idea of Gus Edwards having a flex role against Cincinnati. That's not a great rush defense. He could take advantage of that for sure this week. Juwan Jennings is going to be playing against Seattle. He is no longer on the injury report. That's a good sign. And I think Juwan Jennings is probably a top 30 play this week for sure. So make sure you're getting him in your lineups if it works out for you. If he is one of your top receivers, no qualms about playing him against Seattle. Tyreek Hill, not on the injury report. George Kittle is questionable. He was on the field. We don't know as of yet. Nick Wagner from ESPN does not know his official practice participation status. I'm sure if I dug hard enough on the internet, I could find it. I just don't have it at my fingertips right now. Those are the latest things that I have for you. Jake Ferguson, full practice today. Nico Collins, a full practice today. Lamar Jackson, no longer on the injury report, as is Brian Thomas. He is not in the injury report. Najee Harris, no longer in the injury report. So fire those guys up. Tank Bigsby is out against Detroit, which is good that we get that ahead of time, that we know now that we can fire up Travis Etienne. Najee Harris got in the full practice. Like I said, Jaylen Warren is questionable this week against Baltimore. He's a little bit nerve-wracking as far as flexes go. I think you might want to look elsewhere there. Sam Laporta is out for the Lions this week. Josh Jacobs off the injury report. He's good to go. Tony Pollard, same thing there. Juju Smith-Schuster as well. Isaiah Pacheco, still not going to happen for him today. And in a weird twist of a story here, Marshawn Lloyd, who missed time earlier in the season with an ankle injury, then missed time because of a knee injury, now missed time, is on IR because of an ankle injury. He gets taken off IR, and then he woke up this morning complaining of pain in his abdominal area. He has appendicitis, and he's going to have an appendectomy. As Matt LaFleur said, you cannot make this stuff up. So no Marshawn Lloyd this week. Fire up Josh Jacobs, and I think Emmanuel Wilson is definitely still the guy that you want on your team probably the rest of the year for that Josh Jacobs insurance as well. I want to bring him in right now, ladies and gentlemen. He is my co-host. He is the boss of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, which you can check out now, kffsc.com, at jfarrellelliott on the X. It is Farrell Elliott. Farrell, man, happy Friday night to you. Welcome into the show.
Thank you, Balky. It is so good to see you tonight, buddy. You're giving out a whole lot of news that players can use, my friend.
Well, I think the it was largely good, right? I mean, yeah, most of this stuff is all, hey, they're off the injury report. We're looking forward to that. And that's not true of everybody. I mean, Sam Laporta is not playing. Tank Bigsby's not playing. And we'll find out what happens. But, you know, with the rest of these guys, Michael Kinzel on YouTube right now, I'm with him 100%. I like it when players are declared out on Fridays. We want clarity for that Sunday morning waiver wire, the Saturday night waiver wire in the KFFSC. That's what we're looking for here, and we're getting it here.
Mike must have loved the Nico Collins situation from last weekend. That's
yeah, exactly. That was awful. Let's go. Oh yeah. Permar 99 talking about Marshawn Lloyd. So much for the 2-day Marshawn Lloyd run. Just dropped him. I'm assuming for Jerome Ford, Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb free agents next year, keeper league. Okay. So there you go. So that's Permar's update. Yeah. Frustrating for Marshawn Lloyd. I did not go heavy in any leagues in him this week. Not so much because I don't believe, or, you know, cause I saw the appendicitis thing coming. I just think they trust Emmanuel Wilson so much more, and he's missed so much time, Farrell. I think Marshawn Lloyd is a 2025 guy. I'm kind of done with him this season. Now coming off the appendectomy.
Never has so much been said about one player that has delivered so little. And you know, it's a product. It just happens every year. And when we get to our guest, I'm going to ask him about, you know, the drafting year and the wave of rookies and how it starts with the dynasty. And that's my question to almost every fantasy player now is, how much dynasty do you play? Because then you can tell a lot about how they value the rookies. And, you know, we've got our KFFSC Super Sunday, Super Bowl weekend draft, and you know, people will tell me, you don't know. Well, you don't know much about the rookies. Sure you do. All you have to do is know the top 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, it proves out every year.
I think that's.
We don't know where they're going to play yet, but what difference? What if you did know, what difference would it make?
I think it's one of my favorite leagues to draft in, that Super Sunday with KFFSC, because I do tend to, I'm in rookie mode at that point, Farrell. Mm-hmm. And I do tend to go hog wild on rookies, at least in the latter part of the drafts. But I remember, I think it was last year, I ended up drafting in one, and I think I got Jahmyr Gibbs in like the third round and Bijan Robinson in the fourth, or maybe it was Robinson in the third and Gibbs in the fourth, because you just didn't know. But you took advantage mm-hmm. of that drafting early, and that team was set up for success. And I think it ended up either winning the league or it got to second in the league, made it to the championship round. So, yeah, Super Sunday in Kentucky. Highly advise it for sure. Let's talk about Thursday night's game, which was not super for Terry McLaurin. Two targets, one catch for 10 yards. He didn't catch that pass till about 10 minutes to go in the game. This was his worst game of the season. 2 of 3 weeks now, he has caught fewer than two passes. Jaden Daniels is the quarterback there. We love Jaden Daniels. We love the Washington offense. What's going on with McLaurin, Farrell? I think that it's you know, this is kind of a mini trend now, and I'm a little skittish about just automatically starting him next week. Your thoughts on McLaurin and what happened there in the last couple of weeks?
We've got a new offensive coordinator moving forward here, correct? Is that
well, Cliff Kingsbury's been in charge there all year.
Yeah, okay. So very good. I think what we're going to have is a realization that they've got to work to get the ball in this player's hand. And they're not wanting to saddle the young quarterback. They need him to play free, for lack of a better word. So I think what we're dealing with here if you look back to the start of the season, McLaurin, week one and week two, poor performance. If you look back to last season, this was a trend. It was one of the things that kept me off of drafting as little less McLaurin than I would like to, because I really admire the player. You know, there was in week 9, he had only 3 targets, but hey, 2 of them were touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He has been consistent throughout the year. They get Dallas next week. Let's get him in your lineups and take benefits because I think they're forthcoming. And with the time that exists between Thursday night's games and next week's game, they'll have time to figure that out.
I'll tell you something that Permar99 is trying to figure out, and I'm going to post it right now. He's watching us on YouTube, as is his way. He wants to drop somebody to pick up Wandale Robinson with the 6.5-yard ADOT right now. His choices are Devon Vele, Mike Gesicki, Blake Corum, Jordan Mason. Really, really difficult for me, a noted backup running back hoarder, to say, yeah, cut Blake Corum. Yeah, cut Jordan Mason. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I think Gesicki is interesting. Tight end premium, it gets a little bit more dicey, because then I don't think I could advise cutting Gesicki. But Gesicki versus Vele, I'm leaning towards Vele here, even though he might be in play this week, as Permar points out. I'd rather have Wandale Robinson. Now, Robinson is not the type of guy that is ever going to drop, 12 catches for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's not his game. But what he does do is flirt with double digits every single week. And even when it gets to be the championship round, Farrell, I don't think you need these guys that are have the upside of like 30 or 40. Sometimes these guys that are churning along with 10, 12 points, that's good enough for your second flex. So I definitely like Wandale Robinson. I'm probably cutting Vele in an FFPC league. Your thoughts here?
Well, my thoughts, Balky, are that I speak Permarese. And what he's actually saying is he's picking up Vele. He's referring He's referring to him as the 6'5" Wandale, which I think is very creative. And Wandale would love to experience life as a 6'5" Wandale. But nevertheless, Paramar, you're getting in business with a team that doesn't score many points. I appreciate this player for what he is, but I'm not so sure you're going to get a whole lot of production out of LA. However, the gentleman that you are suggesting to drop, I, unlike Balky, will say, you know, pick your poison. Throw you a dart, whichever way that dart lands, go ahead and drop that player. If you believe in the player, Vele, I love the athlete. I don't love the situation for this year. Yeah. But Permar, you are always 1 year ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you're an ahead. You're a forward-thinking guy. We talked about that on the show last week. Think forward. Think about what's going to happen, what hasn't happened. Vele, just, I think, is a next year player.
I think you're right. Vele, in his first – I shouldn't say this. His first game of the year this year, 8 catches, 39 yards. Hey, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Then he didn't play again until week 6 when he caught 4 passes for 78 yards. But since then, 1 for 20, 3 for 28, 2 for 11, 4 for 39, and a touchdown. Falcons secondary is actually pretty good. So if you want to pick up Vele, hey, go ahead. Yeah. I'm kind of with Farrell. I'm not really seeing the upside this year. I could be wrong. And Parmar has been right about stuff like this in the past. But I'm just not seeing it.
Well, I think his teams also are better than having to start a player like this. I have belief in him as a player, but you know, week 14 is coming. How do you, looking ahead as we talk about week 14, you're gonna have a lot of guys on bye, so maybe Vele can help.
Juwan Jennings was removed from the injury report today. Farrell, I touched on this at the top of the show. He is gonna play against Seattle. Now, he hurt his ankle yesterday. But wasn't on the injury report today, so it couldn't have been that serious of an ankle injury. He is a player that I really like this week, and he's a guy I like better than Ricky Pearsall. In fact, I would be firing up Juwan Jennings as a first flex or for sure a second flex in FFPC if I was playing in that. And KFFSC, I think he's a great wide receiver 3. How do you feel about him versus Pearsall? I'm still team Jennings here. I understand the argument for Pearsall. I still think Jennings is the better guy here.
They both have a lot of skill set. Whatever the defense decides to do, can spring one of them loose, because he can't defend all these tools and weapons that the 49ers have. I think both of them take the best they get the best they can get out of Purdy's targets. I like both these players. Jennings is a player that put up a 45 earlier this year. Jennings is a player I drafted while sitting in Planet Hollywood. People gave me the side eye, but, you know, that's okay. Because I didn't have to get him in the waiver wire. I love the player. If you watch the previous game closely, you see that all the different reasons to love him. The catch radius, the ability to get open, the route running. It's been very great that at this point in his career he could bloom while being surrounded by a top rookie wide receiver and all the talent that exists there. And there were so many things that happened. I don't have to list them. We all know what the 49ers have been going through. So many things happened to get this player on the field, and he's showing the player that he really is, and I'm impressed with him.
I've been impressed with you as well. You know, going forward here, I think it's a very fun thing to be watching out for your fantasy teams to try to make sure you're maximizing your points, especially as we're coming up on league playoffs and the championship sprint here within the next couple of weeks. Now, Scott Kobe, former guest of the show, former FFPC league champ, wants to know about Dawson Knox. I promise you, I am not leaving you out in the lurch here. We have an email for our guest tonight, Eric Von Gutenberg, and we're going to talk with him about Dawson Knox for sure. So trust me, it's going to happen. Dom Gazzetti also chiming in on YouTube. Two of my favorites on a Friday night. Thank you so much, Dom.
Appreciate it.
Very, very kind for you to say that. Permar 99. Did you take my advice and drop Noah Brown? I called it for you last night, even as a bye week fill-in. Don't feel good about it. I will say this. I met you halfway, Permar. I did not drop Noah Brown. I also did not start him in any league. So he's still on my roster, and maybe I'll drop him this coming week, obviously, with so many teams on bye. But I did take your advice. I broke ties against Noah Brown, and thank you. I was glad that I did not start him in any leagues. We have Eric Von Gutenberg coming up in just 1 minute. The last thing I want to get to here, Farrell's kind of a non-story, but maybe not. I don't know. I'll get your thoughts on it. Darnell Mooney was added to the injury report on Thursday with an Achilles injury. Then today, he was removed from the injury report no Achilles injury. He is going to be playing against Denver. I don't know if this was just covering their bases or if they were just being extra cautious here, but Darnell Mooney's been on a tear. And the only thing that could slow him down is, well, maybe a pretty good secondary in Denver. But the other thing, too, that has me worried is an Achilles injury. I know he's not in the injury report. Are you having any bad hoodoo about starting Darnell Mooney this week? Are you firing him up?
Yes, I would. I've been impressed with what this player's done this year. And, you know, we talk about players needing to change the scenery, and I was somewhat skeptical. And I thought they had a lot of players like Mooney around, but their games have been elevated too. I've never been a Ray McLeod fan, and he's not a really good fantasy player, but he's been a really good NFL player this year. And we've sat through watching our top-rated and top-drafted Atlanta Falcons disappoint us over the years, and you think, well, is Mooney and Ray McLeod going to be that big a difference? Mooney's become an excellent fantasy football player. I like it.
I guess the thing is, I was more nervous yesterday. He's not in the injury report. If the Falcons aren't nervous about it, I shouldn't be nervous about it.
Yeah, Bucky, it's unusual for you to live in fear. So
I don't. It's no way to live. That is
highly unusual for you. So I would reject any nervousness brought on by Mooney.
And Permar pointing this out. Maybe it was gamesmanship for the opponent this week against Denver. Sean Payton. No stranger from offering up some gamesmanship on his end. So I don't know. There's something to be said for that. Scott Hoyt chiming in right now. He thinks Drake London's going to get locked down. Could be a big week for Darnell.
Scott Hoyt knows more fantasy football than a lot. He's forgotten more than a lot of guys know. So.
Yeah, and myself included in that for sure. And I'll tell you another guy who's part of that club is tonight's guest. He sits currently in 27th place overall in the Fantasy Pros Championship. A guy that is looking to cash in on the $1 million grand prize, a longtime FFPC veteran, and here he is in the top 30 heading into week 11. Please welcome on to the show. He is Eric Von Gutenberg. Eric, welcome in tonight, man. Do we have you? We had him. Hold on. Hold on. I think we got an internet issue.
I love the EVG, though.
There he is. Eric, how are you? We have him.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing good. So good to have you on board tonight. I'm going to kick things off with a non-fantasy football question. When you're not hanging around the top of the leaderboard in the FFPC, what are you doing for a living?
Yeah, great question. So my career professionally is
He's coming in bulky, kind of like the guys from outer space did, you know, when you're doing
that. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. So, Eric, I'm going to take you out temporarily. Rebooting your device or closing your browser and then coming back in. Then we'll bring you back on, and hopefully that'll fix it. Sometimes these little internet demons, it's bad. I don't know why it happens, but it does happen from time to time. So hopefully that fixes it, and we shall see if we can get that fixed.
Hey, James Hicks is here in the meantime.
Yeah, and I should do this too. James Hicks joining late. I'll tell you who wasn't late. Team Porky's co-owner, Scott Christian. I thought I saw him in here before. Forgive me if I didn't, but
you did.
Oinker says hello, and we will see Oinker again later on tonight for sure. We have Eric back now. I'm going to bring him on. Eric Von Gutenberg, welcome back onto the show. Hopefully we got a better internet connection. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. Hopefully this is better.
Brilliant.
This is so much better. So much better. You were answering my question before, what you're doing for a living when you're not winning FFPC leagues. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, sure. So I work in the financial advising consulting space for employers on their health plans. So that's kind of my 9-to-5. And then I've always been a longtime poker player as well. So I kind of view both those things as opportunities to kind of maximize opportunity and minimize risk, which lends itself pretty well to managing a portfolio of fantasy teams as well for these FFPC tournaments.
Yeah, you're telling everybody what they should be doing as far as from a financial standpoint, from a healthcare standpoint. Now you're going to tell everybody what to be doing from a fantasy football standpoint. And you're kind of used to, putting all the chips in the middle or getting in when you got the best of it and getting out when you don't. And certainly with your team right now in the top 30, man, you're right up there with the best of it so far this season.
You love
and
that, man.
Like anything else, there's a lot of luck involved. So again, nobody's going to be the best of the best without a little bit of luck. So
until you started talking about luck, you sounded like my Aunt Edna, because she would tell everyone exactly what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong in their healthcare. And then she would tell them, you know, that it was not, you know, that her success had nothing to do with luck. It had to do with skill. And I think your success has a lot to do with skill. And I want you to talk to me about when you play Seattle Seahawk wide receiver JSN, because, you know, you're a poker player. You go down to the last pot. I've noticed something about JSN this year. He shines in the overtime games. You know, he's got 50 catches on the year. 20 of them have come in the two overtime games versus the Rams in New England. Is this a player that you've been trotting out every week? And this week you get the 49ers, a defense that can be stingy against the wide receiver. What are you doing with JSN?
Well, I don't know if you've been looking into my teams or digging even deeper.
Yes, but JSN, I have.
My biggest takes all year, and I'll admit, was last year as well, which didn't work out the best. But I think that was just a case of being a little too early. Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the head there, Farrell. The reason I expected a big jump this year was the increased pass attempts with Grubb at offensive coordinator. And like you said, that gets to its maximum potential in these close games that end up shootouts. So in these games where they're playing from behind and are kind of one-dimensional, it's not working. In the games where they're big favorites and able to run the ball, it's not going to be necessary. It's in these games that go back and forth. And like you said, end up in overtime even. Those are the JSN games. I'm going to look for an excuse every week to play him. But in this kind of over-under, this kind of tight spread, absolutely.
Well, they're going to need him. They're going to be in a chaser position against the 49ers, don't you think?
I do.
Okay, so this is a game that he's up and you have high expectations for. And I love watching him play. But, you know, when he's on, he's on. Let's just say that. You know,
yeah.
50 catches for this player. The rest of the season, you know, we used to talk about Tyler Lockett and how he was the perfect best ball player because you couldn't figure out when to start him. And I think he's got a little bit of that, the Lockett virus, as far as that is concerned. I think you've come up with a system, though, with your analytical skills that are probably better than most of figuring out when to do it. So you'll be putting him on the field against the 49ers this week.
I am too. And I don't have as much JSN as you do, Eric, but I do have a bunch of it. And I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be a good week for JSN. 15 points at a minimum, probably flirting around that 20-point level, and maybe even higher. We'll see what happens. Now, he is playing this week. A team that is not in action is the Buccaneers. And I wanted to ask you about the backfield here, because the more I look at it, and I think the more the bigger sample size we get with Tampa, I almost think that Bucky Irving is now the guy that you want in Tampa. And I don't know how inarguable it is at this point, but it's getting close to that level. Is Bucky Irving actually the guy that you want to be deploying out of the Buccaneers' backfield going forward over Rashad White?
Absolutely. The big question is that worthwhile? So we've seen, obviously, the emergence of Sean Tucker, which complicates things for him. Certainly unexpected, but he's shined. He's been shining. So that kind of confuses the situation a little bit, as does this lingering toe injury. So he's got a turf toe injury, which we don't really expect to fully heal at any point. So obviously I've been very in on Bucky Irving with the expectation that things would play out more or less as they have with these two sudden obstacles now rearing their heads in terms of the injury in the emergence of Sean Tucker. So if we really want to get deeper to the Tampa offense now without Godwin, and they'll be getting Evans back, but overall it's not quite the offense that we may have hoped for a month or two ago as well. So do I hope for the best for Bucky Irving? Am I going to be rolling him out? I am. But as far as outcomes go, necessarily as ideal as I'd want it to have gone, even though he is clearly the back I'd want of the three.
It's interesting because you take away those players, those key players. What I've been impressed with is Baker Mayfield. But what's interesting is in that backfield, you got to ask everybody to step up. And this team's got a lot of guts, a lot of moxie. And I think Irving sort of matches that amongst all these players. I'd hate the idea of sitting down White. You know, the dollars that were spent on picking up the two replacement receivers have not been well spent. And I'm curious in your thoughts, do you think that ever develops, or does this still, for those players as far as being fantasy contributors, or is this the Cade Otton and the running back show here on out for the Buccaneers?
I really think it is, and I'll tell you why. And so another miss I'll admit to was Jalen McMillan. And as I mentioned, online grub, and I was in on Jalen McMillan's profile. I was out on Jalen Polk, as well as not so high as the market on Romo Odunze, just as prospect profiles. However, I think what we're seeing now, based on, again, 10 games NFL-wise, is three receivers out of that University of Washington class who are all underperforming their expectations. And we've seen that in the past. It's not coincidental. We can even look elsewhere this year with A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Both had great first-round profiles, both super underwhelming so far in their pro careers. It leaves you to wonder, okay, maybe we were wrong. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was the system. So I haven't seen enough from Jalen McMillan. We know what the shell of Sterling Shepard brings to the table.
Yeah.
I don't see much optimism outside of Mike Evans coming back. And again, like you said, Cade Otton and the running backs. So
he's healthy. Good old Sterling's healthy and he's playing well for what he can do. How much dynasty do you play?
I don't actually. It's never been one that I've gotten totally into, but I've always watched from the sidelines, if you will.
Well, we've got plenty of guys in the chat that are talking up their dynasty teams this year, and I see the trend of as the calendar goes, there's so much heat on the rookies, and that doesn't seem to dissipate until we get into August. It seems like, and you know, I can think back to Kendre Miller, and everyone's saying, you know, Kendre Miller's going to be the guy, and I love the way he runs. He's a hard running player, and here we are in November, pushing up against Thanksgiving. He hasn't done much, and we're still asking questions about Kendre Miller.
Yep.
You've talked about the wide receiver rookies. Talk to us a little bit about Kendre Miller. Do you expect anything this season, or are your expectations similar to what mine are? Let's talk about Kendre Miller next year.
So I think that's one of the things that we talk about, potentials and outcomes. And I think more often than not, you'll be in the right, Farrell, in terms of it's probably not going to be this year. But we don't play a game in these FFPC tournaments that rely on what's likely to happen. We rely on what's the unlikeliest things to happen.
And
I think there's plenty of scenarios where Kendre Miller makes a difference this year. And going back to a point Balky made earlier, and trusting a coaching staff's decision with Mooney to influence, hey, if they trust, don't trust him.
Yeah.
Well, as quickly as coaching staffs can change is how feelings about a player can change. So we know how Dennis Allen felt about Kendre Miller, and just as quickly with that coaching change, the new interim coach has made it a fairly public point to say, hey, we are reversing course on this. This guy is healthy and ready to go. And most importantly, most telling, is the roster moves themselves. So they have Jamal Williams, who's can't stay healthy. And if he is healthy, I'm not sure really what he's doing or contributing besides great pass blocking. They've got Jordan Mims, who I believe is a UDFA last year, who's shown very little. They have not supplemented that position at all. And we've seen more than enough evidence of what opportunity that position on that team and that offense gives with Alvin Kamara. I'm not going to say that Kendre Miller is a one-to-one to Alvin Kamara, well, I'll take a 60 cents on the dollar to Alvin Kamara if that opportunity persists. And if that means Saints are in a lost season with a couple more losses where they're paying Kamara big bucks to go risk his body in a lost season, I don't see that. I see week 15, 16, 17 being the money weeks, and I see that being a very likely or at least possible outcome that the Saints say, what do we actually have in Kendre Miller? Playing some very mediocre defenses, including the Raiders, week 17.
Hey, now.
Well, Farrell, listen, he's being real. He is being
hey, now.
I understand. I understand we got the
red. Nate Hobbs is out of the lineup. He's injured. That might be a gift. Who knows?
I'm going to see if I can bring this up here. And now that we've mentioned the Raiders, I have to put my John Terry Raiders chain on here for the rest
yes,
of the show.
Yes, there you go.
As you will be repping the Raiders, I'm repping the Raiders as well. Okay, let's talk. Let's keep the running back conversation going here, Eric. Steelers, they are playing in a huge game at home against Baltimore this week. And maybe the injury report is dictating your answer to this question here. As Jaylen Warren got back out there in a limited capacity, he's listed as questionable. Najee Harris off the injury report right now. So clearly, if you're going to start a Steelers running back in week 11, even though the matchup is probably more dictating, it dictates more to Jaylen Warren's skill set, you got to put Najee Harris out there over Warren, right?
You do. I think whenever you had a chance for a running back to hit two touchdowns, rushing the ball from inside the five, it's hard to pass it up. It's as simple as that. Sometimes you can overthink things, but that's what we have with Najee Harris, for better or for worse. The offense kicking off, they're playing a high-scoring opponent. No reason to overthink it.
Right. I agree with that.
I think I
don't know what they were thinking in Dallas last weekend, but, you know, they need to hit the reset button because it sure was a failure to launch last week. But I'm going to – you gave a good argument for Miller, so I'm gonna talk about Rico Dowdle, who you would have to think in the same spirit that the Cowboys want to figure out what they have in this running back. Your thoughts on Dowdle going forward, or any other Cowboy, especially what you think about the tight end Ferguson working with Cooper going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a great lean or stand of what to expect there, but the reality is I don't expect much.
Well, can't get any worse.
knock on wood there. Yeah. I think, again, with running back position in general, you can buy an opportunity, you can buy efficiency, and occasionally you can buy both, but generally it's one or the other. I think very clearly with Dowdle, the buy is the opportunity. What he can make of it on such a underwhelming, anemic offense, even if given a much larger role than he's been given thus far this year, that remains to be seen. But I'm hoping that at least it's a solid enough floor that, you know, again, when you're back to, can this guy punch in 2 5-yard rushes?
I want to
really get to that will exist here for Dowdle Cowboys.
I want to ask you, so this week in my KFFSC waivers, I tried to look ahead as much as I could with 6 teams on bye. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, especially the one-off positions, like the quarterback, tight end, defense, kicker. I'm trying to get ahead of it so I get the pick of the litter this week. Did you do that at all for your FFPC teams this week, Eric? Did you look at it to say, hey, okay, I have this roster spot to play with this week. Let's not worry about a pickup this week. Let's look ahead to week 12 when all these teams are on bye so I can grab this guy now. Did you do that in any of your leagues and waivers on Wednesday night?
Not this Wednesday night, because I did it the Wednesday night prior and the Wednesday night prior to that and the Wednesday night prior to that. In fact, if you've been a longtime player in the FFPC format, there's institutional knowledge involved in just understanding timing, getting ahead of the curve and getting ahead of the field sometimes, looking ahead in terms of matchups, that others might not be. So I found that right around week 8 and 9 is when you start putting one eye, at least having one roster spot. Usually, you know, I want to carry as many running backs as I can. So I like look for the very least possible outcome running back and say, okay, we're going to turn that into a future defense.
I love that, Balky. Institutional knowledge. Institutional knowledge, Balky. Don't you love that? You had that and didn't even know what you had. You had that. That's so cool. Chicago.
Think about it. If it's your first time playing in these leagues, you're not going to know how to approach the waiver wire. You don't know how much a defense goes for in week 11 or 12 when everyone's still got money left and there's only two or three good options left. You don't know how this is going to go. You don't anticipate that, like we saw, at least in my leagues, there's defenses now going for 50.
I see what you're saying. Anybody tells me I got some kind of knowledge, baby, I'm going to take that to the bank. I'm going to take that to the bank. I was waiting for the Chicago Bears to take DJ Moore to the bank. The offensive coordinator gets fired because he couldn't find the bank. It's you know, anyone that listens to the show knows that I am a big believer in Michael Pittman, and what a disaster of a year it's been for Michael Pittman. Injury related, quarterback related, 30 catches, 2 touchdowns. I look at DJ Moore, a prolific young quarterback, should be the number one target. 40 catches, 2 or 3 touchdowns. It's the same kind of failure. What are you doing with DJ Moore? Because I would sure have a hard time putting him in my lineup. And God bless you if you drafted Moore and Pittman. But what are you doing with Moore this weekend?
Oh, man. I have him in enough leagues that I'll be running the gamut of having to start him, being able to sit him without question, and everything in between. So Do I want to start him? No. Do I expect that when I sit him, he will celebrate the firing of Shane Waldron and go off for his best game? I do expect that. It's one of those catch 22, damned if you do, damned if you don't situations. And I've already
seen the dead cat bounce of the new coach. I love that so much.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that we've seen this narrative play out plenty of times that they are now free. They are excited and they're going to show their best. Is that going to necessarily play out? No, but is anybody going to be surprised if that is what happens? No.
Except the New York Jets, who've yet to have the dead cat bounce. Well, Balky's friend, I mean, up there.
If you want to think the craziest outcome of a scenario, if it involves the Jets, it's more likely than not to.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
I know we touched on Estime a little bit before. But we do have an email for you, Eric. Tim in Riverhead, New York. Hey, Eric, is Audric Estime the real deal? Thanks. That's Tim in Riverhead, New York. Tim, we appreciate your email. Permar was pointing out, and I'll see if I can find the quote that he posted in the YouTube chat earlier so I can post it on the screen so everybody can see it. But here it is right here. Estime didn't look good last week, and he said he could see the whole Denver running back situation flip-flopping back and forth week to week, which I could totally see as well. Is Estime the real deal? I don't know about that. I'll let you speak to that, Eric. But I guess my thing is I'm not really confident in hitching my wagon to the Estime horse right now because I don't know how much he's going to be able to pull the rest of the way.
No, absolutely. Is it a likely outcome? Probably not. Is it a possible one? Sure, certainly. And if it is one that works out that way and you've played it that way, you will reap rewards. So I'm a Denver guy. I live in Denver myself. So I follow, as I mentioned, what coaching staffs do and what roster decisions dictate my thinking behind the scenes. So it's not a big secret that Sean Payton really wants Estime to be a thing. Whether he has the talent and whether it works out remains to be seen, and I have no idea. But what is clear is that if it looks like it may work out, or if it does initially, he will be given a runway. So that's kind of my thinking is, hey, of all the flyers at this point in the season, nobody's looking to suddenly pick up a difference maker at running back that's widely. He, Kendre Miller, are probably the most likely for the week 15 to 17 perspective to be significant difference makers, in my opinion.
I'm trying to find the other comment that we had for that that's going to pair up with this email nicely. I don't know if it was Scott Hoyt or who had it. Maybe it was, no, it wasn't Scott Christian. I apologize. I cannot find it right now, but I'll just
Jimmy Williams got a good question there.
Well, let me get to Jimmy in a second, but I want to bring this up from Paul in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. What's up, Eric? How do you feel about Dawson Knox if Dalton Kincaid missed the Kansas City game? And I do believe, I don't think I mentioned it at the top of the show, guys, has Kincaid already been ruled out this week? I don't think he's playing this week. And now all of a sudden Dawson Knox, okay, there you go. All of a sudden Dawson Knox is a little bit more interesting. How do you feel, Eric, about rolling Knox out in an FFPC tight end premium league now that we know Kincaid's not out there?
I'm not interested, to be quite honest, especially in FFPC, perhaps in like a half PPR where touchdown or bust is more than enough. Okay, there's a good argument to be had there. If I'm not mistaken, Dawson Knox has never cleared 50 yards in his last 20 games. Granted, there's been limited opportunities relative to what we expect this game, but there, what are we hoping for here? 3 for 35 and a touchdown? Sure.
Yeah.
But again, that plays out a lot better in a half PPR than an FFPC, where you can perhaps get AJ Barner with Noah Fant out in a shootout with San Francisco, which Farrell thinks
is going to. Yes, says the DJ Moore owners.
50, and you tell me what's the difference.
The DJ Moore owners are now flocking to Knox. It's great. You know, they're saying, give me some of that Knox.
To your point, Eric, 23 yards on one catch in week one, 50 yards in week eight on two catches, and then two catches for 40 yards against Indy last week. So the most catches he's had in one game this season, two.
It's
tough. I mean,
we've played Dawson Knox, we've done this now, but
I think that if you have Kincaid, you might be painted into a corner where you might have to play Knox, and he might be the best bad idea you've had, to borrow a line from Argo. But I think I would look elsewhere if at all possible. Farrell, final question for Mr. Von Gutenberg tonight. Go ahead.
Mr. Von Gutenberg, I have enjoyed you being on the show. We invite you to come to Kentucky and join Balky and several of the guys that are in the chat room, including Michael Quinsell, who gave a binding promise last week to join us at the KFFSC. We've got hospitality, we've got bourbon, and we've got some damn good internet, so we're going to get this straightened out for you. But between now and then, I want you to come up with a sleeper that we haven't talked about that will even make the, you know, even make our guys that dominate the chat room, like old Permar and Mike here, say, hey, I didn't think of that. That's brilliant. And then give me one guy that's going to be this week's week 11's failure, week 11's guy to avoid. And they got to be two new guys that we hadn't talked about yet. Go.
All right. They're not going to be deep sleeper names. They're not going to be names you've talked about, but one that I absolutely believe is going to have a big week is Jahmyr Gibbs for the Lions.
No, that's not a sleeper.
No, he's not.
That's not a sleeper. See, people have heard about him. I want somebody that's a sleeper.
Permar is pointing out in the chat room for the answer to this question. He said either Devon Vele, Deontay Johnson, which is somewhat of a sleeper, but okay, I can let it go. And then Mike Williams as well.
Permar skipped the show last week. He was not here. We spoke very nicely of him, but he skipped the show last week, and we already talked about Mike Williams. So Permar,
I'll give you two receivers, and they're going to be a little bit off the track.
They must be. That is a definition of sleeper.
One will be a New England receiver, but not one expected. So it's going to be it's going to be an Osborne week. I think it's going to be a KJ Osborne week.
There we go, baby. That's it. That's fantastic.
And I think we're going to go with Calvin Austin as well. Everyone's talking about Mike Williams, but I think Calvin Austin comes in.
Calvin Austin and KJ Osborne. Now that, Farrell, that definitely meets the criteria.
Those, my friend, are sleepers. You bounced back fantastically. Now give me a failure player.
Yeah, give us a failure player.
Oh, man. All right. This one pains me, but, and again, he's not no sleeper. He's going to be in a lot of lineups, and he's going to be in a lot of mine, yeah. But that's probably going to be Jaden Reed. So I'm hoping I'm doing a reverse jinx here where I've proven to be dead wrong, but, hey, if I can get a good week out of him, I'll be happy.
Yeah. To your point on Reed, I'll just say this real quick. I know that Jaquan Brisker has been placed on IR by the Bears. That's a huge hit in their secondary, which has been pretty good so far this season. You know, people ripping on the Bears, whatever. They're not really ripping on their pass defense. That's been pretty good. I think the way you beat Green Bay, the way that Green Bay beats Chicago is with Josh Jacobs and it's with Emmanuel Wilson. I know Jordan Love for the first time all season got in a full complement of starter reps this week. Hasn't happened since before he was prepping for the Philly game in week one. It happened this week. So you'd like to think, hey, he's going to come out firing. I think it's going to be a Jacobs week. I think it's going to be a Wilson week. And to your point, Eric, that means Jaden Reed may not have the greatest week. So I could see it. I'm a Reed owner like you. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're wrong. But I think, like, right now I am very nervous about Jaden Reed for week 11 against the Chicago Bears. Eric Von Gutenberg sitting 27th place overall in the Fantasy Pros Championship, guy who has had success already in the FFPC. And you never know, Eric, maybe that $1 million grand prize is coming your way. You keep this up and we might be talking again in late December, early January about how you're going to spend that million. Thank you so much for hopping aboard tonight. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend and good luck the rest of the way, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. My pleasure. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You got
Be
it.
Be in touch, EVG.
The notorious EVG.
EVG, man. Yeah. That's cool.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think his username in the FFPC is EEVEEGEE. So it's like a phonetic, you know, EVG. For his username. I could be wrong on that. Just check the top of the Fantasy Pros Championship leaderboard. You'll see if I'm right or not. Because
you got to have institutional skills to figure that
out. Well, now you might have to. Eric could figure it out. Two guys like us, maybe not so much. Let's do a few emails here tonight. Okay. Actually, was it Jimmy Williams had that question before? Let's answer his question first. It was a tight end question, if I remember correctly. Yes, AJ Barner or Will Disley this week. I am team Disley. In fact, we're going to go to Portland, Oregon here with our next question that involves Disley as well. I love Disley over AJ Barner this week, Farrell.
Well, sure you do. And Jimmy knows the answer to that question. He just wants to Disley. See. If,
okay,
he just
got it.
You know, he just wants to see if we're getting soft. He knows the answer.
Which we're not. We're a couple of harder.
We are muscled and ready,
man. Muscled and ready, rocked up and ready to answer all your deep sleeper tight end questions. Like Kevin in Portland right now, who is actually asking, if I have it here, Will Disley or Jonnu Smith. Now, this one's a little bit more spicy. Jonnu Smith at home against your beloved Las Vegas Raiders this week. And then we have Will Disley, who's at home against the Bengals, who I think, you know, Jim Harbaugh loves to run the football. They have Gus Edwards back. I think this could be a heavy running game for the Chargers, which might take away from Disley a little bit. I think both these guys are fine starts in the FFPC. I do lean a little bit more towards Jonnu Smith over Disley this week, though.
Will Disley has been more impressive statistically. Jonnu Smith is the more impressive football player. It's still to be determined what the Raiders look like when they go on the road. They've stayed in some games defensively. You know, that interception of Mahomes in the Kansas City game was brilliant. Set it up at first and goal at the 3-yard line where they had four plays and continued to keep residence at the 3-yard line. So it's the offensive issues there. You know, you could flip a coin there, but the better numbers are being produced by Disley, so I'm going to go Disley.
Jonnu Smith in his last, let's go back five games, 5 for 62, 7 for 96 and a touch, 4 for 20, 5 for 46, and 3 for 45. Which, I mean, when you're looking
at they're closer than I thought they were.
That's decent. Now, if you look at Will Disley, let's go back all the way to right after the bye week, 4-for-26, 8-for-81, 5-for-41, 2-for-9, the clunker. And then last week, only 30 yards, but 5 catches. We're talking tight end premium. Like, we love the catches. Mm-hmm. And this dude's got, what, 20 of them in the last 4 weeks at tight end? I mean, that's kind of special. So it is very, very close. I lean towards Jonnu Smith. Again, if you ask me tomorrow, I might say Will Dissly. But right now I'm saying Jonnu Smith. So
I think that the Chargers got to find some ways to beat this Bengal team. They got to have everybody step up. And the tight end has been consistent working with this quarterback.
Michael Kinzel has, ironically, not ironically, but he's got a Scott Fishbowl question. He has to start one.
What?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do a Scott Fishbowl question for Michael because he's a loyal viewer of the show. Are you? We got to get you in the Scott Fishbowl if you're not in that, because that's.
Oh, no. That's for people that don't play in the FFPC. I'm an FFPC player.
All right. Okay. There are FFPC players in the Scott Fishbowl. I will.
Slumming is something people shouldn't do. You ought to stay on Fifth Avenue at the FFPC. At Planet Hollywood, and if you want to switch gears from that, come to Kentucky. But my goodness, with this,
I would encourage you to play in all three.
Okay, Mike, I'll answer that. Is the Scott Fish guy? Is he one of the pros that comes here and plays?
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? I think he used to be, and for whatever reason, I don't think he has been in the last few years. And I
understand the competition. That's
It could be. I mean, he's the super. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys out there.
Well, that goes a long way.
I would never disparage Scott, but I will say this. We got to figure this out for Michael. I'm playing Najee Harris over Patterson and McLeod here. Even though with the kick return yardage for Patterson, I'm still going with Najee Harris. Upside's too great there. And if you're playing this week, you're probably playing to make it. You might either be playing for a playoff spot. I don't know. I know I am this week. Like, I need a big performance to try to get into the playoffs. I'm going with Harris over Patterson and Ray McLeod here, Farrell.
I think that's an easy answer. And, you know, Harris is benefiting from the new quarterback, the new play from the quarterback.
Tom Smith, who plays both in the FFPC and the KFFS.
There's a guy who knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. Tank Bigsby is out. Is Travis Etienne worthy of starting this week? 100% he is worthy of starting. I own him only in like one or two spots, but he's a slam dunk start for me, Farrell, this week. I think he puts up top 20 numbers at running back at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Let's go to – where are we going next here? I got to look at my emails. Plano, Texas. Rich in Plano, Texas. Quarterback question here, Farrell. This is a tough one this week, and one I don't know if I have a strong feeling on. Justin Herbert, who's at home against the Bengals, or – Russell Wilson, who's at home against the Ravens. Very, very difficult here. I think Herbert's been coming on, but so is Wilson. I lean towards Herbert here, but I could definitely be told the story where Wilson's the right play.
Yes. Herbert has it's come together for Herbert. They're letting him do more in the offense, and the offense has been more successful, and the team is getting it. And it fantasy players league wide should take a look at veteran coaches who get better as the season goes on. And Harbaugh understands what he has in the way he now understands it. The quarterback's beginning to get it, and it's all coming together. And guys like Dissly are coming to the top like we haven't seen before. So, yes, Herbert is fantastic in that situation, is how it's developing. Russell Wilson's got something to prove against a Baltimore team that will score points. So he may be in a chaser position in a game where we've seen a very, very weak secondary get exposed. I like Russell Wilson in this game.
You like Russell Wilson. I think he's a fine start as well. I love the combination of Herbert and McConkie, the way that that's coming along right now. And it's hard for me to get away from that. Even on a team that runs the ball as well and as often as the Chargers do, I do feel like there's maybe a little bit more upside for Herbert this week, but it's close. It's very, very close. Let's go to what email are we going to next here? Rod in LA, La La Land, running back question. Tony Pollard, or Ramondre Stevenson. Those are his choices this week. Pollard is at home against that tough Brian Flores Vikings defense. And then who was the other one? Ramondre Stevenson is at home against the Los Angeles Rams, who can be had on the ground. Which, by the way, who's the defensive coordinator for the Rams this year? It's a guy who has been with the organization for a while, and I think that's a guy who has been able to turn Chris Shula, the grandson of Don Shula. That's who it is. He has been able to turn in a lovely souffle of that defense this year with basically hot sauce packets and stale rice to work with. And it's been unbelievable what he's been able to do. So before we say, oh, it's the Rams defense, no Aaron Donald, no Jalen Ramsey, like, we still have to look at this. Like, they're a defense to be reckoned with. So getting back to it, Stevenson or Pollard and Spears should be healthy again this week as well. Factor that into the situation.
I'm a big Pollard guy. I'm not sure how he is physically, Balky. Do you have a report on Pollard?
Yep, I'm going to look it up right now. We're going to find out how he is.
And, you know, I'll continue about what I, you know, the Rams on the ground, I would guess they're in the lower third or in the lower 40% of giving up yards per game. But they play a very tough schedule, get some running backs that are a lot better than what they'll be facing this weekend, but they do go on the road. Stevenson is pedestrian. It's 3.8 yards a carry or thereabouts. Antonio Gibson has somewhat disappeared this team. I tried to count up carries and receptions, and he's not getting anything over the last week. So I'm probably going to roll the dice here with Stevenson if for some reason Pollard is hurt, and if for some reason I really, really like Spears. But I am a big Pollard guy. I have great respect for him. It's given that situation, I don't know what I would do with it. It'd be hard for me to get away from
Pollard. Here's the evolution of Tony Pollard.
I didn't answer that question.
You did. No, you did.
No, I didn't. That was
beautiful. You said Pollard. Did you not say Pollard?
I don't know what in the hell I said. Phones ringing, people texting me and stuff like that.
Scott Christian right now on YouTube. Is Spears worth a roster spot for a dynasty league? I don't know what your dynasty roster looks like, but I would try to roster Spears if I could. Number two. The evolution for Pollard this week, no practice on Wednesday, limited practice on Thursday, and then no injury designation after Friday's Friday's practice comes out.
At this point of the season, I'm encouraged that he's not on the injury list and he just got some time off and they're trying to freshen him up. I love the way he catches the ball and runs with it. Levis must lean on him. So, yes.
He had only 11. Now, I agree with everything you're saying, Farrell. He only had 11 touches last week. He turned it into 63 yards, which is good. But I look at just no threat in the backfield to Ramondre Stevenson, which is why I lean towards Stevenson over Pollard this week. Again, like many of these questions we get, they're very, very close. But I do like Stevenson a touch better than Pollard. Final question of the night here, unless somebody else fires something in the chat room right now. Let's do this. Tom in Morristown, New Jersey. Wide receivers, Tank Dell or Jalen Waddle? Those are his I'm assuming flex possibility this week that he's looking at. Jalen Waddle at home against your Raiders, which I'm repping right now. And then you have Tank Dell, Monday Night Football at the Dallas Cowboys. Nico Collins expected to be active for that game. Farrell, where do you stand here? Dell or Waddle in week 11?
I'm definitely a Dell guy. I'm definitely a Dell guy. The Raider games, when they stayed competitive, have been lower scoring affairs. Houston is up and down. They got a lot of problems with that offensive line. They got to get the ball out of the quarterback hand. They got to scramble it. That's where Dell adjusts on the route, gets loose in the secondary, makes catches, creates off routes and makes catches. I like Dell for this game.
My concern with Dell is this. The Texans are a 7-point favorite. Mm-hmm. Nixon has been running roughshod over just about every defense he's gone up against. And Dell, with a golden opportunity last week, and I had to hear about this from my son all week, who I helped manage his roster. We played Tank Dell, and he was not happy that we played Tank Dell this week. Again, that was without Collins. Now he gets Collins, and they're taking away some targets. That's my concern with him. Now, on the flip side of the coin, Jalen Waddle, and by the way, the totals on these games, 42 in that Texans game, 44 in that Dolphins-Raiders game. The thing that scares me about Waddle is, what was the first play from scrimmage on Monday night? It was a big play to Jalen Waddle, and then we hardly heard from him the rest of the game. So both these guys have a tendency to disappear. I don't have real strong feelings on either one of these guys. That said, because I believe in you, Farrell, I am rolling with Tank Dell over Jalen Waddle.
Let's do that.
All right, two more questions that we just got from the chat. Jimmy Williams, your thoughts on Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a flex this week. Is he Shaheed in this offense? So two different questions there. Number one, I do like him as a flex this week and this week only.
Because
after that, I mean, I think they go on bye next week, and then it gets to be a gobbledygook. Yeah, in KFFSC as your flex, sure. In FFPC as your second flex, I can get on board with that, with the buys and everything. But that's just this week. Is he a Shaheed in this offense? No, he is not. He is touchdown dependent. He is big play dependent. You start Marquez Valdes-Scantling, that is the equivalent of taking a match out of a matchbook, lighting it, and then holding it right next to the other matches in that matchbook right in your hand. You are literally playing with fire.
I like that analogy, Balky. That's very good. Sometimes I can see where you were going with that. That's really good.
Yeah, and sometimes you get burned when you do that. Other times, it's just a lot of fun. We'll see what happens with MVS. That's my thoughts on Valdes-Scantling, Farrell.
Yeah, I agree.
Moving on, last one here. Caleb Williams or Jameis Winston in the FFPC. Now, my co-host on my local fantasy football show gave me his analysis on Caleb Williams being his sleeper of the week. Now, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, especially considering the state that the offense is in. New offensive coordinator this week. He's holding on to the ball too long. He got sacked 9 times last week. And then you get Jameis Winston, a guy that we love because he throws the ball downfield. He will throw the occasional pick or four, but I think I might lean towards Winston here, even in a somewhat tougher matchup against New Orleans. I think I like Winston a little bit better than Williams, who has just really, really struggled over the last month or so, except for maybe one game.
That's one of those trick questions. If I wanted to win the football game, give me Caleb Williams. I'll try to figure out a way. If I want to win in fantasy football, give me Jameis this week.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's the way to go, and hopefully it works out for you. Hopefully we helped you tonight. I don't know if we did, but I do know it was a hell of a lot of fun talking with you, Farrell, and, of course, Eric von Gutenberg tonight, getting everybody set for Week 11. We will do this again a week from today. That's not Thanksgiving is 2 weeks away. I'll give you an update on what we're going to do that week as well. I think we're still going to do a Black Friday show, but that remains to be seen.
Why not?
Farrell, so much fun. This was awesome. Let's do this again real soon. And good luck to you for all your teams in Week 11, dude.
Thank you, buddy. I can use that bulky luck, and I'll go right back at you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that, Farrell. I could use the Farrell luck as well. Farrell Elliott, the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Check it out at kffsc.com. I want to thank him. I want to thank Eric von Gutenberg, the FFPC, Rob, Bryce, of course, each and every one of you. We will be back next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. In case you missed this past week's Rotoviz High Stakes Lowdown, it was a fun one. A lot of rave reviews on this. I think Tom Smith was actually in the chat. He said he loved the show. 2009 FFPC main event champion. Overall champ. We had an overall champ on. Don Metter joined me. He also had won 15 FFPC high stakes leagues over the course of his career. Really good to catch up with him. You can watch that on any of the FFPC socials or anywhere you get podcasts. The High Stakes Lowdown returns this Tuesday. at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. 13-time FFPC champion Harley Copen. We're going glam. We're going to SoCal, and we're going to get Harley on the show. We're going to get Harley back on the show. That's going to be a lot of fun. 10 o'clock Eastern Time on Tuesday night. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show, you can watch it back both on the Better Sports Network, Better Sports Network's website, Better Sports Network socials, as well as the FFPC socials. Hassan Rahim, one of the voices from the RotoViz Fantasy Football Report podcast. It was great to hear from him. Great to hear his analysis. Had a lot of fun putting together an FFPC weekly challenge lineup with him. So check that out in case you missed it. And then we will be back this coming Thursday. It's John Daigle week. John Daigle from Establish the Run will co-host with me from 7 until 9 p.m. leading into that Thursday night football game next week as well. Play the FFPC weekly challenge right now if you haven't yet. MyFFPC.com, MyFFPC.com is where to go. No draft, no salary cap. You can play with or without kickers and defenses. Only one player per team. If you want Kirk Cousins, you can't have Drake London. If you want Justin Herbert, you can't have Ladd McConkey. No stacking there, but no other restrictions. Do whatever you want. FFPC lineup, 10 or 12 player lineup you can form right now. MyFFPC.com. Enter for as little as $35. Win up to $2,500. MyFFPC.com is where to go. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, watching, streaming, downloading. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live on this channel, which will be 10 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday night with Harley Copen and myself on the road to this High Stakes Lowdown. Thanks for watching, everybody. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I don't say this enough, too, but I'll bring this up. We have the playoffs coming up in the FFPC. Obviously, the championship round is just around the corner, too. Many of you have teams that are either out of it or are probably not going to make it. I would always encourage you to run these teams as if they were your only team. Make sure you're submitting lineups each and every week. You don't want to anger the fantasy gods because you never know when that could bite you back in future years. Play out the season as best you can. Be a spoiler. And the fantasy gods will look down upon you with grace and good fortune in the coming years. Hopefully the ball bounces your way in week 11. Thanks for watching, everybody. Talk with you on Tuesday night. Myself and Harley Copen on the road of his High Stakes Lowdown. This show will return 10 p.m. on Friday night, November 22nd. Farrell Elliott and I and a special guest will get you set for week 12. Thank you, everybody. See you soon.